The best way to stay up to date with the SoCal Sound is by signing up for our email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. Go to thesocalsound.org and click sign up for the email newsletter at the top of the homepage.
Welcome to another SoCal Sound session. I am Julie Slater, midday host, also music director here at the station. I am here with Daisy the Great. Welcome, guys.
Thank
here with
you.
Kelly
Thank
and also you. Minna. Thanks for coming to CSUN Northridge.
Of course.
On this beautiful, warm, we're starting to get into the summer, so we're getting a little scared. Just so you guys know. This is the brand new record. I love it. Have you guys, sometimes artists come in here and they haven't even seen their vinyl.
Well, we just got this. Yeah. I actually got the vinyl 2 days ago, and then we like immediately came to LA. So I haven't played it, but I do have it.
So excited.
It's the Rubber Teeth Talk, Daisy the Great. Tell me a little bit, I don't even know the story of how you guys met in school in New York, and you live in New York.
Yes.
And give me your timeline. First of all, I don't even know where Daisy the Great came from.
Sure.
The name.
The air.
Yeah, we made it up.
Our heads.
We met in acting school at Tisch at NYU, and I grew up in New York, and Minna grew up in New Orleans, and then we both met in school at NYU. But we grew up surrounded by music. My mom was an opera singer, Minna's mom was a jazz singer. There's a lot of like music and art in both cities, and then we met in school. And initially we were like working on a project together that was part of our sketch class, and we kind of like didn't want to write a sketch. So we were like, we'll write a song.
What
like
a comedic
that's our
song.
Yeah. So we wrote a song, and then that was just kind of like an excuse to start working on stuff together. And then eventually we started writing a musical that was about a band, and it was really good. We wrote the whole script, and we wrote one song that was more theatrical, and then we started talking about like what songs the band in the musical would write, and kind of opened up like a trove of songs that we both had and like hadn't really shown anyone, but like had this kind of secret life of writing songs alone. And then those songs became our first EP. But the name just kind of came from us being like, pretty immediately once we had that day, we were like, we have these songs, we're gonna be a band, we need a name, and we just made it up.
Yeah, we wanted something list, that, but... yeah, we did a list. We were like walking down the street and we were like, just like what sounds like a good band name for us, because we didn't want it to be Minna and Kelly or Kelly and Minna.
We really
sounds like a talk show.
Yeah. So we were like, what sounds like a good band name? And we also like we only really had the songs like kind of in their like song written form, so we didn't fully know either like what sound we were gonna even end up doing, and we wanted the ability to kind of evolve into whatever like came to us. So we wanted something that felt like it could like hold something small, something big, like just like be able to play within the name and like not have it like imply like a genre. And we chose Daisy the Great kind of just because we like the ring of it and that we, yeah, it's something delicate that is also like has power, and it, yeah, we wanted to emphasize that. But it was really cool because when we showed each other our songs, like our songwriting process was very similar. We like opened up our computers and had like a lot of harmonies and like layers in our stuff, and we're like never been able to perform this because there's so many voices in it. And we just started singing each other's songs, and it felt very like a good fit.
Did you ever perform the musical that you wrote?
No.
Do you think you ever will?
No. Maybe for like maybe as like a secret. At a party or something, we'll read
it. VIP about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do a reading of it. We don't have any music for it because once we started showing each other songs, we just dropped it. But it's in a Google Drive somewhere.
That's a pretty interesting way, though, to start out acting and then write a musical.
Yeah.
I love how that all kind of unfolded. Now, what's your connection to AJR? Of course, you guys had the song, the record player song.
Yeah.
What's the timeline on that? Did you know the band AJR? Did the song come out and like sort of become popular and they were like, hey, let's redo it?
So that song, the record player song, is the original version. That song is like one of the first songs. That's the first song that I showed Minna that I wrote back when we were starting the band. So that was like super early. Then we put it out in 2017. It was the first song we ever put out. And then it kind of like built this world and life around itself for like 2 years online while we were playing shows in New York and doing other, releasing other music. And then it started to have these kind of like spikes in attention in 2019. And at one of those times, there was like a one breath challenge that people were doing. And like people were doing really cool, like making like gore makeup videos and stuff to
with
it.
Your song.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like building online. And then we were like looking, talking to some labels at that time. And then one of the people that we were speaking to is Steve, who heads our label. But at that time, we were like just meeting him. We had known him, I guess, for a little while at that point. And then we said we would go like make songs and bring them back and show them to him. But that was kind of all like bubbling at the same time. And then Jack from AJR heard the song online.
And Steve is his
their manager. And Steve manages them. And so Jack was like, I love this song. Like, do you think we could try to reach out to these two?
Did he have to do a collab?
Not in the very beginning. He was just like, can we like talk to them? And then Steve was like, oh, I actually know them already. So let me just start an email. And so then, yeah, then we were kind of like, what can we do here? And it had been so long since we put the song out. So we were like, I think the best version of this is like making a new version that kind of just like lets a new thing exist. And like the old song exists and like we play the old song on tour. But it's really cool that it has like this separate leg and like went off to like fly in this other area. It's just cool.
And you guys ended up touring with AJ?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That right when it came out, we went on. That was our first proper tour. Like we did a DIY tour before.
Before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic, yeah. But then coming out of it, that was the first thing we did, which was kind of crazy.
We were like, whoa.
big places.
Yeah, that's cool. So this is your third album, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What has changed for you guys as far as writing and recording an album now over the time? I'm sure so much has gone on from the beginning.
Well, both of us started as performers, I would say, like before being recording artists. And I think that as we've been a band now for 9 years, and I think that just like over time we've like developed our like producer brains, and I think we've also been performing more and more and like learning kind of what feels good to perform, and our writing style has developed with our like personal tastes and things as we've grown and our like and as we've like grown up as well, like inside of a band. We've really developed like a language of how to write songs together and with our band. And this album specifically, we wrote entirely just the two of us and with our two of our bandmates. So it feels very, it feels like the most like we're writing an album. I think the other albums we were like, oh, we have these songs, which ones should we pick to make an album? Because we performed, like before this album, we were always performing music that wasn't out. Like even when we had our first album out, we were performing songs from what was going to be the next album, but we were just writing all the time and kind of just really excited to play music. And also, like I said, like we were performing and then going like, I kind of want to perform something that feels more like this. And then we'd write that song in order to perform it. And I think that this album, we wrote it in order to record and then perform it. So we had some time after we toured our second album, All You Need Is Time, and we had some time.
How much time did it take to write it?
I think writing and recording it took about 2 years. But we had like one song that we wrote like right before that tour, which was Ballerina, which came out already. that we were like really excited about, and we were like, okay, like we wrote it and then immediately went on tour. We're like, let's just play this song, let's see how it feels. And we did that, and then we like came back and we were like so invigorated by that song that we like took the summer and just like Kelly came over to my house and we just wrote every day. And then we had this like batch of like 14 songs, and then we brought them to our band and we were like, we have these songs, like let's write them more. And then like we just like took a lot of time to we made like two demo versions of each song that we like demoed it in my room, and then we demoed it again with our band in a more like polished way. And then we like sent those demos to Catherine, who produced the record, and then we re-recorded everything again. So it felt
had you
like...
worked with it's Catherine Marks?
Yes.
Had you worked with her before?
No. No, we hadn't. But we were really excited to work with her. And this is definitely the like the most kind of like proper like I feel like this is the most we've been able to like give time to the songs to record them, which like I guess in the past album we got to perform the songs before recording them a lot, so that also helped in recording. But this album, yeah, we were like we wrote it, we recorded a demo, we thought about the demo, we recorded a new demo, and then we thought about that and then reworked everything. So we got to give it like proper time, and we got to spend like proper time in a studio.
Where did you end up recording?
Studio G in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint, which is where we recorded the last album, but we only recorded there for 3 days. So we did like 3 days like
of basics. Yeah.
Of basics, and then we did the rest kind of at our producer's like home studio. So you seemed like you wanted to.
No, I just said of basics.
Oh. So was that
3 days
last
of basics? Yeah.
Is this one you did 3 days or you did longer?
No, this one we did longer.
We did about a month, yeah.
Which was so cool.
It was
That's
so
wild.
It's like such a dream to just like go to the studio every day. It's so cool.
Did you wake up in the morning and be like, this is my life that I've
dreamed of? Yeah. So the studio is also near our house. And like for me, it's just like across the park. So I would like walk through the park, like get a coffee. It was so like, it was very ideal.
We also got to like finish the mixes with Catherine in London, which was like that was amazing. That was so it was funny. It was so fun to like start the songs together and end them together, because I was feeling like we finished recording them in October, and then we mixed them. They were getting mixed in January, and we were like,
we want to
be a part of that kind of, and the way that we kind of recorded it, and Catherine mixed it as well, is we were like, okay, we use the recording time to record and not to mix, so we just like threw everything at it, and then we're like, we really like should be there for the mixing process, because it was a lot of it was
arranging further
and like comping vocals and stuff, so it was really fun that to like tie it all together and like finish the album together. It felt very special.
That's cool. What about the album title? Can you tell us the Rubber Teeth Talk?
Yes.
What's
the Rubber
the
Teeth
mystery?
Talk.
Talk.
I don't even want to tell you too much. The Rubber Teeth Talk comes from a lyric. All of our albums so far have been a lyric, but this song, or this lyric is from a song called Dream Song, which is a really cool song that's on the record that is basically about a dream and like goes into these various like weird holes throughout the song and like really shifts a lot. And it was a really fun song to write. But this part is from the second verse, and the lyric is what comes right before. I love it a lot, the way that the thought is a dancer, the rubber teeth talk, they cover the clock like an answer. And it kind of feels, I think everyone, when we talk about it, a lot of people kind of have their own interpretation. But for me, it feels like there's like chatter in your head. And sometimes maybe that's like leading you to feel like imposter syndrome or like insecurity. And like sometimes it's like different and it can be like imaginative and free. But I think it's just the rubber teeth talk in your head, there's like stuff happening, and then you have to kind of like carve through that, and then the carving through is kind of like the finding yourself through the record. So there's a lot of moments that are like feel like rubber teeth talk, and then hopefully like through listening to the record, you feel like you connect to your own kind of like laser throughout, through each song. But
yeah, I think we picked that lyric as the, we were kind of tossing around a few names, and I think that we just liked the reaction that people got when we were like, when we said this and we're like, what does it mean to you? And everybody had a different meaning and all of them were cool. So we were like, that's great. And it comes from a dreamy place and it comes from like something that's a little bit out of time.
Yeah. And there's like potential in it. Like I think there's something cool in having it be something that people will interpret differently. And just like, especially because it comes from that song that's like shifting so much, it's nice to have a title that encompasses the record in a lot of different ways. Like it's interesting to me to apply it to other songs in the record and see just like what that makes me think about. Mm-hmm. But I like it.
Is there any path on the album with the songs that lead? I always like leading up to the final song.
Yeah.
There kind of is, but
there's definitely a sonic path. Like the
there's a sonic path. There's also a little bit of like a, there are a few paths.
Yeah.
I don't want to say.
Like, I don't want to give up
too much.
I know,
I don't want to say too much. But I think there's a path in my head of, like, connection to yourself that, like, moves through the record intentionally. Like, the order is definitely very intentional, but it's not necessarily, like, super linear feeling.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a dog starts as like kind of like an introspective, like personal, like daydream. And then it kind of goes further into real dreams and like kind of like more like then like the second half of the album starts with Swinging, which like is when Kelly got like too high on laughing gas at the dentist. So like it's like all of these like little portals. And then I think after that song, it kind of goes into a more like death themed, like dream world, like these like more like existential places. And then like it ends in this like sonic kind of like wall that feels like cathartic. But I think it has like a cathartic through line that like you go into these like little rabbit holes of dream world.
That's awesome. What part of the tour are you guys at? I know you're playing, while you're here today, you're playing the Moroccan Lounge tonight.
Yes. This is the last date of this tour. But this tour is surrounded again around the first single, which is Ballerina. So this is like the closing show of Ballerina tour.
Will you be coming back to LA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're playing at El Cid in LA on September 26th.
That's awesome.
And we'll play the album.
Oh, in full?
In full.
I hope.
So cool.
Well, we didn't make the set yet, but
we have to.
we have to.
We will. Well, I'm saying it now, so we have to do it.
Yeah, I want to do it. I think we have to. I think you have to do it, too.
Well, that's great. Kelly, Minna, thank you for coming by. The brand new record. Check it out, everybody. I love seeing the vinyl. Although, what happened to the actual album, guys? Did you guys?
It's not in there.
We don't have one.
The rubber teeth talk. Date seems great. Thank you guys for popping by.
Thank you.
This song's called Dog. Dragging my feet like my body's on cruise control. New York is melting, I'm a mouse in a maze. Wake up, take two, I've been stuck in. Dog on the street in my head. soup with the Winnie the Pooh. Face down on the sidewalk, tell me the truth. Is it all just talk? Oh, so what's going on? I'm overwhelmed and heat exhausted. Walking my feet like a dog on the street. And my head's in the leaves in my mind. I finally lost it.
Don't sweat costly vehicle repairs this summer. Instead, donate that unused car, truck, RV, or boat that's been taking up space in your garage or driveway to the SoCal Sound today, and help keep the best radio content and the SoCal Sound sessions on the air for years to come. It takes just a couple minutes to get started. We take care of the paperwork, and the pickup is free, and your gift is tax deductible. Go to thesocalsound.org, click support, or call 877-527-6123.
I always will. spit out the lemon seeds, take everything you need. My mama said I was a better man when I didn't know you yet. What a future. Feel like a mystery. Spit out the lemon seeds, take everything you need. What a future. Said I was a better man when I didn't know you yet. I wake up at 4 a.m. these days. I've got a lot on my mind. Like, what's the point of a body if I'll never be a ballerina? I'll never have any fun if all I do is sit and whine about everything she's got, she's not me, so it's a waste of time. She's not me, so it's a waste of time. Everyone's in a bed of roses, singing ha 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 ha. Every day I get a little closer to the ha 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 ha. I'm just like a baby, I need someone there to tell me no. Don't put that ego in your mouth, you're gonna choke! Everyone's in a bed of roses, singing ha 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 ha. Every day I get a little closer to the ha 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 ha. Everyone's in a bed of roses, singing ha ha ha.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater, audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.